this on BBC Surrey Breakfast, because my next guest believes we can reduce carbon emissions and cut our rampant consumerism whilst still having a decent standard of living. That's the verdict of some research, so this isn't just a personal opinion. It's a research group based at the University of Surrey. Dr. Angela Druckmann is one of those who carried out the study and is from a group called Resolve, which is known as the Research Group on Lifestyle Values and the Environment. That Resolve was formerly a headache solution, but it clearly isn't anymore. Good morning, Dr. Druckmann. Thanks very much indeed
for coming
on. There is a big debate that has gone on for many years between the Greens and perhaps the more left-leaning Greens that suggests that it is rampant consumerism. It is the sort of the rape of the world's natural resources in order to feed our Western lifestyles, which is causing the problems, which will destroy the planet. So the idea that you can in some way modify this without affecting our quality of life or standard of living and still be able to do it in a way that is environmentally friendly is a new one. Do explain.
Yes, well, as you said, the starting point for our study was that we are consuming too much and we really must reduce our carbon emissions. And one possible way forward is to reduce our consumption. We've had an enormous boom in consumerism over the last 30, 40 years. And one possible way is reduce our consumerism. So what our study looked at was, could we reduce our consumption and still have a decent way of life?
I mean, do you, by say decent, do you mean a reduced quality of life?
Okay, no. Well, this is the important thing. How do we define a decent quality of life? And a decent quality of life is more than about subsistence. It's more than about just food and clothing and warmth. It's about participation in society, because if you look at studies, what makes us happy is actually participating in society, socializing with friends and family.
So this is bringing the happiness register into things. You don't need a big car because you're going to be happier.
It's
a lovely aim, don't get me wrong, yep. And I do hear a lot of people talking about this, everyone from, you know, David Cameron saying participating in the big society downwards, but how do you actually practically make this work? We are in the grip of consumerism, we are a consumerist society, and there's a reason for that, is because we seem to like it.
Well, what we did in our study is that we took a previous study by the Joseph Rowntree Foundation, who looked at a basket of expenditures that were necessary to provide this decent life. And they estimated a very, very detailed basket of expenditures for different family types. So what we did is we said that this basket expenditure shows what we need to protect, what of our consumption we need to protect for a decent life, and what perhaps is unnecessary. And we looked at we estimated the carbon emissions that would be necessary to produce all those goods and services in the basket of expenditure.
Okay, so just to explain, this basket of expenditure is what people consider what they need to live on a monthly, a weekly, an annual basis?
It was done on a weekly basis.
This goes beyond food, does it? This is in
yes.
Clothes? And
they had how many pairs of socks an adult would need. It even went down to how much alcohol everyone would need per
week.
Well,
what about things like computers and technology and the things that we need to actually get us to and from our places of work? Does that get factored into it? Because we're always told that fossil fuels are the biggest problem when
yes.
it comes to...
Well, household appliances were all factored in, what one should need to spend on a washing machine, etc.
And you looked at everyone from every socioeconomic background. So it's what people needed if they didn't earn much, what people thought they needed if they earned lots of money.
This was for one minimum, it was called a minimum income standard.
Oh, I see. All right, so there's
a
benchmark.
Yes. And what we found, in fact, was that we could reduce carbon emissions by more than a third on current levels and still have a decent quality of life. Now, that's substantial.
It is substantial, but it does sound like it is quite an exclusionary survey if you're only...
What's important is to look at what do we use material goods for in our current lifestyles, and then to look at what was actually excluded from this, what we could call decent life, yes? And we use material goods for an awful lot of things that you really don't need material goods for. We use them, of course, for subsistence, for food, shelter, housing, etc. But we use them to show our sense of identity and our status and to mark occasions and for all sorts of things. And one of the things we looked at in the study was status, and one could say that using material goods to increase your status in society actually doesn't ever achieve it. I might buy designer jeans and I might feel really good, but that's probably at the expense of my friends and neighbours who think, I haven't got that pair of designer jeans. But so the net gain for society is no better. We don't all feel a lot better because I bought my pair of jeans. I might.
This sounds like it's leading to a sort of conclusion where you say, well, we don't need a 5-litre Bentley to get to work. Well, why don't we all make everyone drive the same car? Why don't we make everyone all wear the same pair of jeans? Because we'd be happier that way.
I think what you've got to look at is how we can achieve what we're trying to do in a less material way, how we can flourish as human beings without this huge throughput of goods. What makes us happy is socializing with our friends and families. Now, to do that, you don't actually need your fast car particularly. That's not what makes you happy. What makes you happy is being with your friends and family. So we've got
Sometimes nice to pull up in their front driving a Lamborghini, though, isn't it?
Well,
you'd enjoy the method of getting there as well as enjoying their company.
That might be a personal opinion there. But what we've got to do is provide the structures in society for people to flourish without pulling through so much material resources, which is producing these carbon emissions, because it's just not sustainable the way we're going.
I think I understand. I mean, I'm not necessarily sure I understand the methodology, and perhaps a short radio interview isn't the best way to sort of explore that in more detail, but I understand where you're going with this. If we were happier without consumerism, we could find a way as a society of working with people to be happier without consumerism, then we'd start making those choices for ourselves. But there comes a point at which you have to go, well, look, it doesn't really matter what I think or what makes me happy. If advertising, if this world that we live in, it keeps telling our children that to aspire to happiness, they need the new Barbie dolls, they need a little pink dress. I'm using female examples because I've got two daughters. But you see where I'm going with this. Then from an early age, they are going to want stuff.
I agree that we have a huge problem on our hands to try and shift society to less materialistic ways of living. But there are small but growing signs of people who are beginning to downshift. There have been surveys that looked at the number of people who have voluntarily actually had taken less income for a better quality of life, for more time with their friends and family, for more time to look after their children or to look after the elderly. And another point to make is that if you look at surveys of happiness and well-being, since the 1950s, we've had all this huge consumerism, but the actual number of people who report themselves as very happy has gone down, not gone up. So we're not getting happier with all this consumerism.
We need to work on this. Dr. Druckmann, what makes you angry about grammar? You seem like a very happy person, but does anything get your goat when it comes to slang or bad language?
Oh, but you're picking me up for you. When I arrived this morning, you said, how are you? And I said, well. And now I said, I'm good, and I should have said, I'm well.
Well, should you? When you think about language,
I'll tell you what really upsets me is stadiar and stadium.
Everyone has a pet hate, and they get more and more scared. Stadiar is the plural of stadium, is that correct?
Absolutely.
Now, I looked into this because, obviously, when the World Cup was coming up, it became a debate. Do we talk about the various stadiar in South Africa, or do we talk about the stadiums?
And the Olympics.
And the Olympics, of course, will be coming up in 2012. Oxford English Dictionary says you can do both. Stadiums and stadiar.
I would argue with the Oxford English Dictionary editor.
Standards are going downhill at the very highest level. Well, if they can't be the guardians of our language, who can be? Dr. Angela Druckmann, thank you very much indeed for coming on. It's lovely to have a conversation. You've got some really big ideas going on there, and it's nice to explore just a small part of them.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Angela Druckmann from the Research Group on Lifestyle Values and the Environment, which is based at the University of Surrey. It's 9:09.
Keeping Surrey moving. Travel news from BBC Surrey.